so much to get to with Mike Kruko. Mike, welcome back. We got Carrie Crowley one more day before Paulie comes back from his trip to New Orleans. So you got Murph and Crowley. We got Mike on the UMA guest line. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Enjoy the off day today, and then watch the Giants renew their relationship with their rival. It's going to be fun. Things are good.
They lose 2 or 3. I can imagine that wasn't exactly in the plan. How do you feel if you're the Giants walking out of that series about the level of play and the way things went down?
Well, I mean, you think about how our show ended on Friday, and you guys thought, oh, it's going to be an easy win. This is going to be
it. I know, you're right.
You guys dismissed me, and I'm listening to the way you got out of that segment, and I went, what?
Yeah.
It's just another reminder that it is the big leagues. You're playing against good people. I mean, you cannot take any amount of success you ever have at this level for granted. I mean, you have to earn it. And, the Giants go into the weekend and, they're down. I mean, they've got 5 guys on the COVID IL. They've got a couple guys dinged up that aren't likely to play, maybe going and pinch hit. Jock Peterson, who had been their best hitter, he was kind of on the shelf with a grade 1 strain on his groin. And then the other guys who've been on the DL, I mean, or the IL, it just sort of mounts up. The beautiful thing about what Farhan Zaidi does, we talk about a 40-man roster. When he builds an organization, he builds a 60-man roster. I didn't think for one second that they did not have a chance to win because of their pitching, because of their defense, and because of the quality of the bats these guys are bringing when they come up out of Sacramento, or the way that the arms look when they come up out of Sacramento. I didn't see the offensive barrage that Washington brought with them. I mean, they had 22 hits on Friday, 14 14 on Saturday, and then they had 12 yesterday. That's a lot of offense. Nobody's done that to the Giants in a long, long time, and I didn't see that coming. But like I say, it is a reminder. Nobody made any excuses because they're playing short. Everybody knows, everybody in baseball knows that they don't have their people here, but, they didn't make an excuse. They thought they were going to win those games. So I was a little bit surprised that they didn't do better. But it's the big leagues.
Yeah, Mike, I wanted to ask you a little bit about what you saw from the pitching staff this weekend, because just about everyone struggled, and that was uncharacteristic of the Giants that we've seen in the Gabe Kapler era. Last year, 107 wins, pitching staff was the best in baseball. This year, starters have been so good. Bullpen entered the weekend as the best in the majors, and the Nationals didn't exactly beat them with home runs, but 22 hits. They got 11 off of Logan Webb on Saturday. What were the common themes you saw? Is the ball playing any sort of a role in what we're seeing this year? Major League Baseball has obviously come under fire for the changes made to the ball, pitcher struggling to get the grip. Do you see anything different this weekend?
Who pitched Friday? I forget.
It's been so long.
Webb was Saturday, and so it was decent. No, it was
Alex Wood.
Alex Wood.
Yeah, anytime I see Alex Wood go out there and give it up, I'm shocked, because he's been so good, and he's such a good starting starter. I mean, he really gets off to a fast start, and he puts up early zeros. But, I mean, that was kind of a weird game where, it just, like, all hell broke loose. Everything that got hit fell, and, they wound up getting 22 hits. So how do you explain what happened to Wood? How do you explain what happened to the bullpen? I can't. It was just one of those games. When you went into the game with Logan Webb, you watched his stuff, and I thought he was throwing the ball good. He didn't have a great slider early on, so maybe that's just a little bit of fatigue. Who knows? I mean, when you're a starting pitcher, especially early in the year, you count on your body coming back every fifth day. And in April, sometimes we remember how we talk about dead arm in spring training. Well, that's simply your arm just doesn't come back in time for that fifth day. And it can happen early in the year. And I think it kind of happened to a degree with Logan Webb. I picked him for my player of the game because he persevered. And he went out there and we really got it done with less than, what his normal stuff was. He didn't really have a slider till about the fifth inning. And he wound up going 6 and giving the bullpen a 1-run lead, and they wound up cashing it in. But, he wound up giving 11 hits up too. Now, they weren't all hit hard. But still, I mean, he wasn't quite there. So I do believe that was simply because his body didn't come completely back with the 4 days rest going into the fifth day. And then yesterday, Alex Cobb goes out there and And, I mean, he had pretty good stuff. He was up. And the one thing that you can expect when a guy comes off an IL is he may have a little rust in his command. So you watch that early. And I don't think he ever really established knee-high control. And that's where most of his movement is. If you're a sinker baller, that's where you're going to get – that's where you want to be. And as the game – as the inning wore on, you know, what are you most susceptible to when you come off of an IL? Well, a long inning. Well, he went 30-plus pitches in that inning. And it just – you know, became just a house of horrors. But really, there was a play that Jason Bosler, who's been playing a great third base, should have come up with, and he didn't. And that kind of put him and Cobb behind the eight ball. So, it just kind of rolled from there. The other thing, too, they ran into a buzzsaw yesterday. I mean, Josiah Gray was phenomenal. They don't have a big book on him. They don't really know him. And he locked it in early, and he had four pitches going. And I mean, he was really good. So, that was a combination of everything. I think that the pitching was a little less than what we've seen in this series, to answer your question, Gary. But it's not anything that I'm really concerned about. I just think that fatigue of the season, all the bullpen games, the fact that Logan Webb didn't come call the way completely back on his fifth day, I think those are the things that can explain what happened over the weekend.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Kruko on the UMA guest line. We do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The Giants lose 2 of 3 to the Nats. Surprising. They're still 14-8 and a half game out of first going to Dodger Stadium, which we'll ask about in just a sec. I will also say, too, and again, like you said, it's the big leagues and there's no excuses and all that stuff. But I will say, as a longtime observer and radio host / sports writer, I was surprised at the lineup card that was posted on Sunday. It was not your average lineup card. Gonzalez, Ford, Vossler, Krizan, these are all young men who are chasing the dream, and God bless them, but those are not exactly the guys the Giants were counting on when they broke camp in Scottsdale. So it was a very unusual lineup yesterday, Mike, and it's been racked, and I guess the question is kind of how bad COVID has gotten for this clubhouse and how long we should expect them to sort of be cobbling it together here going into a big series.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, they had five guys on it, I think, but there's the sleeping giant that is in the room that, you know, you don't know if it's going to wake up and more guys are going to have to go down to it. You have to have two negatives to get back off of the IL, and nobody had even had one. So we don't know what's going to be happening as they go into the series tomorrow with the Dodgers. You just really, really keep your fingers crossed. But, you know, I mean, that's – they had guys coming up. I mean, and you were shorthanded. Plus, you had two guys on the bench, Peterson and Slater, that, you know, were not going to really be able to be on the field defensively. If you're going to use them, they're going to be used as a pinch hitter. So they were dinged, and it shows. I mean, Gonzalez, I thought his at-bats were good. Yeah. You know, Ford, he comes up, gets his first hit as a Giant, gets two big RBIs when they had the 5-run seventh. I mean, that was an energy swing of the bat. You know, Krizan, I mean, he became the story of the day from our perspective. You know, Jason Krizan, I mean, he labors 10 years in the minor leagues, finally gets to the big leagues. And what did he do yesterday? He got his first big league knock. And what did it do? It broke up a no-hitter. I mean, that's a pretty unbelievable move. He got sent back down after the end of the game. So, I mean, who knows? That may be his whole big league career. But that was the story of our game, really. That was the one positive.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, and obviously, it's not, like I said, it's not what they wanted. And the sad part is going in to Dodger Stadium, carries, they don't know who they're going to have back, you know?
Yeah, it's a really tough situation, Mike. But I wanted to ask you, because the Dodgers are going to be throwing two lefties and because Lamont Wade Jr. has posted an Instagram from Dodger Stadium, even if he comes back, he might not have a big impact in this series because we know he was used in a platoon role last year. But how much has this Giants team missed Lamont Wade? And not just the bat, Mike. He was the Willie Mack Award winner, and you can speak a little bit to what he meant to the clubhouse last year.
Well, he was a great story. He was energy the whole time. And just the humbleness that he has as an athlete, you know, he comes into your clubhouse and he makes a big contribution. Late night way. I mean, come on. Late night Nevada's one of the best nicknames that's come up out of the Giants organization in 10 years. And I thought the whole thing was just so cool. But he was even cooler about the whole thing, which I think when you have a guy find success and he does it in a humble fashion like he did, I mean, everybody embraces that guy. We all did. Willie Mack Award winner. And but he's also a home run threat. And he's also a guy that, you know, he's not afraid of the latter part of the game. I mean, some of the biggest hits that come in the game always seem to come in the late innings. And that was his specialty. So, you know, they miss him. And to get him back will be a shot in the arm. I don't know, because you said they're going to get two lefties from the Dodgers, Urias, on Tuesday. I don't know who's going on.
I think it's former Giant Tyler Anderson going on Wednesday. Uh-huh. At least that was the plan for Los Angeles when I checked in on Saturday.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to. I mean, he'll definitely get some at-bats. He'll play at some point in the game when Urias comes out or Anderson gets out. So I when they brought him in and, you know, they took him out of Sacramento and they brought him into L.A., I expect him to be activated. So that's what we all expect. And it's going to be entertaining when he comes back. The same thing when you get Belt back, when you get Yastrzemski back, and when you get, you know, Tommy La Stella back, and when you get Longoria back. And the good thing about it is they're all going to be back at some point this month. So, you know, good things are happening. Right now, they're treadwater. That's what Kipe calls it. Treadwater, just kind of stay afloat, keep trying to get a breath of air because you're shorthanded. But hey, man, nobody feels sorry for you.
Just a little bit on this Dodgers series, too, going in. And we just obviously laid out the fact that they may not be the lineup that they want, that they'll have maybe in September for sure. But this will be the first time they've seen them since last October. And there comes with that all sorts of stories and thoughts and emotions. And, you know, I'm sure we'll see some replays and some, you know. But I know these guys are all focused on just one game at a time, but it is bigger, right? And just kind of your vibe. I know you and Dwayne are working it right from the studio, I hope. And
oh, yeah, we're working from the studio, so yeah. We'll be doing it. And, I mean, it's always going to be special. It is. And especially after last year, most games that both franchises ever won in their histories, Dodgers 106, Giants 107, it's one of the coolest things we ever witnessed. It was amazing. So because of all that, and because of the fact that both teams are good and both teams expect to win every time they go out in the field, it's going to be a great series. And then nobody's going to be – whatever the lineup is, the Giants throw out there, they're not going to be making an excuse. They're going to think they're going to have a chance to win. I don't care if it's Kershaw, if it's Buehler, if it's Urias. It doesn't matter. They're going to think they'll find a way to win. You know, kind of like what the Warriors did yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, if Steph and Clay and Jordan Poole are ready for the Giants, we'll take them too, you know?
Well, look, I mean, we could have used Draymond and say he wouldn't play in the second half.
There you go, man. There you go.
Give him an inning out of the bullpen. Hey, Mike, Murph mentioned this to me on Friday. When I signed off, I said I was going to the Tim McGraw concert. I'm out here in Arkansas. He said that you were roommates with Tug McGraw, Tim's dad. And I just wanted to hear your impression of Tug McGraw and what it was like living on the road with him.
Man, I can't, he's a Northern California kid. You know, Tug's from Vallejo and his brother Hank is still here in Northern California. You know, knowing the reputation of Tug McGraw when I was playing against him, we all had envisioned him a certain way. He was full of life. And when I got traded over to the Phillies in 1982, you know, he and I, we roomed on the road. And I loved every minute with the guy. He was amazing. And I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot from Tug McGraw. I mean, at the time, you know, I was 30 years old and, you know, he was like 39 and been through everything, really, a world championship with the Mets. I mean, he had been with the world championship with the Phillies. I mean, two way significant accomplishments from both franchises. And he was the centerpiece in both of them. I mean, he was the guy that threw the last pitch in the 1980 season, mm-hmm. But just his takes on life. And, I mean, I loved it. And, you know, I got a chance, Tug's brother Hank, as I mentioned, lives in the Bay Area. Like 2 years ago, before COVID, I guess it was 2019, it's the middle of a ball game, and Hank comes walking in the booth. And who's with him? Tim McGraw.
Wow. Yep.
And, you know, we had a chance to visit there for a couple of innings, and there were so many things that I wanted to tell Tim about his dad. But it was just perspective on life. I think as great a player as he was a great person. and a great lover of life, and it just rubbed off on you. And but I will say this, it's kind of a remarkable thing because Tim McGraw is such a gifted performer and a great voice, great voice. Hug could not sing a lick.
No. I remember that night at Oracle Park, Mike. Tim came into the Giants press box and tapped me on the shoulder, too. It was like a highlight of my beat writing career.
Yeah, and it was great. I mean, he had a daughter that was going to Stanford, which brought him out to the Bay Area. And it was, he's a guy, you know, you get around him, you want to get to know him better, you know. Plus, did you see 1883?
Not yet. I've been told I need to see it. I've been told it's a must-watch.
I mean, that guy, as good a singer and performer as he is, he's as good as he can act. That was just one amazing thing that I saw. But knowing the McGraws has been a really great thing in my life.
Yeah, that's a great story. And by the way, were you going to say Hank could sing, though, the uncle?
When we would go into Cincinnati, there was a guy that we had played ball with when I was in the Cubs organization named Jeff Wehmeyer. And Jeff was just a hard thrower, high prospect, and it didn't pan out because he got injured. But we always got together when we got to Cincinnati because Jeff could sing, and I'd bring a guitar, and you know we would sing all night long. It was just a fun time. So when I got traded to the Phillies, I told Doug about this, and we would go over there, and we used to go in from the Eastern Division, used to go into the Western Division twice a year. So the first time we go in, we went over to Wehmeyer's house, and we sang all night. Tug just, you know, he thought that was a religious experience, and he said, I got to get my brother out here. So the next time we go into Cincinnati, Hank shows up. Well, Hank shows up, brings his own axe, and Hank's got this gruff Lloyd Axton voice, and again, we sang out all night long. It was unbelievable, but that was it. Every time we go into Cincinnati after that, I mean, you know, Hank would be there, and I got to know him, and I've maintained my relationship with Hank ever since I've come out to the Northern California area. He's a total character, and he was a great player too, but he was the talent between the two brothers, between Hank and Tug. He was the guy that could sing.
Man, these are great stories. I love it. I'm glad you asked, Kerry. And it sort of seems like a perfect way to end the conversation, but I did have one last sort of baseball question on the way, because I wanted to get your take before the Dodgers series started, and that is that Joey Bart had three hits on Friday and hit a bomb, and he drew two walks yesterday. So is there a little slight arrow going the right direction there? What'd you see?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's concern for the swing and miss, but, you know, he's staying in the strike zone, which is significant. What we watched with him, how he went from a catcher that was completely overmatched in 2020 to the way he's receiving the ball now and handling a game night and day. And I just think that we just have to be a bit more patient with this guy, with what he's doing at the plate. I think it's in there. You know, when he hits the ball, it's the loudest noise that comes off of any bat on that club. So, you know, the fact that he's starting to heat up a little bit, that's a good thing. And hopefully he really gets it going in L.A. And because when he gets it going, he hits long balls. And that's what we all expect out of him.
Yeah, Mike, great conversation, wide-ranging. We will let you go. We look forward to the broadcast Tuesday night. And we will talk to you Wednesday morning.
Better bit.
Mike Kruko on the UMA guest line.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.